You are listening to Punk News Podcast number 488, a special episode called Record Shop Hopping.
Neo drops in, starts to spin and spin and spin around. Get down, your favorite song is all around. The record's going round.
And welcome back to Punk News Podcast, episode 488. We're calling this episode Record Shop Hopping because we're going to be calling record shops this week. The question going around, and everything is shut down because of the coronavirus. Record shops are closed, bars are closed, nightclubs are everything's closed except for food stores, at least in most of the USA. Tom might have slightly less restrictions than we do on the East Coast. East Coast is locked down. I think Adam's pretty locked down in Canada, so we'll talk about that briefly. And so what we're doing today is we're going to call up some record shops and just talk about why it's cool running a record shop and what you, the music fan, can do to support record shops in this time of strife. We're going to be talking to Sit and Spin Records in Philadelphia. We're going to be talking to Creep Records in Philadelphia, where I throw a lot of my shows. We're going to be talking to Record Farm out in – is that Grand Rapids, Tom?
No, it's actually in central Indiana.
In central Indiana, a different state than Tom's in. And we're also going to be talking to Streetlight San Jose out in San Jose, California. Here with me tonight, first of all, contributing editor Adam White. Adam White, the lockdown, how are you holding up, baby?
I'm in a surreal fog. I haven't left the room.
Where Adam, you just named a VOC's record, a surreal fog.
I haven't left the room where I record this podcast essentially for the week. I mean, I leave here to eat or put my kids to bed or go to sleep. But essentially, like, I'm working out of here now. I have my impromptu little office here. And with like on the one hand, if I don't think about what's going on in the world, it's kind of fun. It's like I'm at camp or I'm on vacation or something, but it's a vacation where I just have to sit around and listen to my records all day. And that's lovely. But on the other hand, you know, my business is in an incredible amount of trouble and we're struggling to make sure that we can get our people paid and that, you know, we can cover our expenses and like all this like horrible real world shit that normally, you know, being able to live my life I haven't had to deal with. And you know, it's all here at my door, all the uncertainty and all that stuff. And it's like that's not even to mention the actual like real world scary virus health problems and things like that are happening out there. It's just that like you're in the bubble and all that is just news, right? It's all just stuff that flutters by and doesn't seem to affect you directly, I guess, until it does. And that is like is the weirdest thing of all to me.
Adam, should we use the Punk News Podcast as a vehicle to break hard-hitting news and let people know what they can and cannot do during coronavirus lockdown? Or should the Punk News Podcast be punk fantasy land where everything's great and fun and we talk about how much we dislike Green Day, but we don't really hate them, we just kind of like banging on them because they're the big guy in the schoolyard?
We can do both. I mean, I'm not going to tell people what they can't do.
Do you feel like there's a lack of news coverage about this coronavirus, Adam?
I mean, on the one hand, if you're tuning into the Punk News Podcast and you aren't aware of the coronavirus thing, holy shit! All right, sit down. We're gonna figure this out.
Maybe you were under some kind of a retreat with Jared Leto.
I keep seeing things like that pop up as thumbnails on news websites, and I refuse to click on any of them because it seems beneath. It's beneath my dignity. It's just like, you know, like these idiots were living in a cave and they came out and whoa, there's the virus. And it's like, I'm not going to read that story. That's not helping anyone. It's not useful. I mean, I don't Tom think any of it's useful, but yes. That's not useful.
Tom Trauma, coronavirus lockdown. How are you holding up? What are you doing to stay sane? Or are you just one of these guys that say, I'm not going to get sick and you're just going out there and doing your thing?
Well, I'm trying to be cautious, but I'm definitely not a fear monger type. But today, so my in-laws are quite a bit older than my parents. My in-laws are well into their 70s, not in particularly great health, but I'm still getting up and going to work because I have an essential infrastructure job. Sounds important, right? I have a letter in my wallet saying that I can travel on the streets and whatnot.
You're lucky to kill?
In case I get pulled over by the SS or state police. They need it, you know, so I'm, you know, and we're not going to have any contact with them because of their age, but if they need something, we'll leave it on their porch or whatever. So I got my first emergency today from my in-laws that I needed to go grab something on my own from work, and they needed a case of Budweiser. So I agreed to go get them a case of Budweiser, and then my wife just kept texting me with a further, they kept calling her with a further grocery list. So I ended up pretty much getting a bunch of groceries with a case of Budweiser to give to my, leave on my in-laws. Front porch. So I'm sort of like the road warrior out there, you know, dealing with the danger so that others may live.
You see, my
and have their Budweiser.
I have a similar kind of situation in that. A similar situation in that my job was also declared an essential service, but it's one of those things where like the joke's on them because all of my clients are out of business right now. So, you know,
if not permanently.
Yeah. So I'm the essential service for no one. Yeah. They released a list of essential services in Ontario, and it's like,
it's
unless
pretty
you're,
vague, isn't it?
Unless
it's
you're
pretty
a
inclusive.
Masseuse, yeah. Right? Like unless you are like, your job is like touching people, you're pretty much on the essential services list. On the case of beer front, one of the things they announced all the businesses that had to close, and the one thing that they did not close is all the liquor stores, which I'm totally fine with because
talk about essential services.
Well, see, I looked at it from a joking standpoint, saying like if we can't keep stocked during this time, then we're doomed. And I gotta say, like we're drinking a fair amount more, I think, than we would have normally been at this point in the
absolutely
in the year. But
I've become my in-laws, Adam. All we do is watch TV and drink. What else is there to do?
Right, but the thing that was pointed out to me, and I thought this was kind of interesting, is that they said if they just went and they said like all the liquor stores have to be closed, that actually becomes a problem because those people that are actually like chemically dependent, like on drinking, like people that are, you know, basically functioning alcoholics, say if all of a sudden they can't get any and they start having withdrawal symptoms, then you have more people in a potential hospital situation and you don't want that at the time. So it actually is a help to leave those things open in this, at least that's what it had been explained to me, which I thought was kind of interesting. But the one thing that I just took advantage of, and I have to say, like, This is the summer camp aspect of it. Like it was just totally delightful to me. Is so one of my local breweries here, they went and they posted something on Instagram where they were like, you know, if you need beer and you can't leave your house, we can hook you up. Like text this number, make an order. We'll bring the beer. We'll leave it on your porch. We won't touch your filthy house and we'll drive away quickly in our van. Like it's a Looney Tunes cartoon.
So if you're underage, now's the time.
So I text them. I'm like, how's this work? And they're like, well, you tell us what you want and you pay over the phone or the credit card and then we'll bring the beer tomorrow. So I'm like, what do you got? And they sent me a picture of like the chalkboard that would normally be at the brewery saying like all the things that they had in bottle. So I'm like, all right, give me one of each. Which amounted to like, I don't know, like nine bottles of stuff, right? Big bottles. So they're like, sure. And it's like I went upstairs today at one point and on sitting on a piece of patio furniture on my front porch was a box full of beer with like a thank you note stapled to the side of it. And that experience, I thought, I'm like, wow, that was fun. No one's ever brought me beer. I was like, not even brought me beer. They didn't charge delivery for it because they're struggling too, right? Because they can't have their shit open right now. So they're trying to
sure.
make money however they can. So, you know, I can detach myself from all of the actual fear and misery that's going on here and go like, wow, I just got beer on the front porch. This is great. So it's weird. But you know what? It's my birthday in a couple of days. So I thought I cannot live in my birthday quarantine alone with these horrible children if I don't have a whole bunch of beer. So I made it happen.
Aren't you getting a little old to have birthdays, Adam?
I'm not getting old enough to have a bunch of beer when I decide I deserve it.
There you go.
Well, listen, if you're having DTs of any sort, specifically live show DTs, we're running a series at Punk News that we've got planned through next week and the week after. It's called the Lockdown Freakout, where we're showing live concerts, usually at 4 p.m., but not always at 4 p.m. Today, we just had Andre Crash of Push It to the Limit. On Friday, it's Omnigon, which is Adam Davis of Narboots and Link 80. Monday, I think it's Monday. Monday is Cat Bite. Wednesday is Christy Road. And Friday is Stolen Wheelchairs. That's next week. So we're showing live shows of Punk News. And honestly, boys, I've been very pleased with how they've been coming out. I mean, they're low five, just people hanging out. But it's been a lot of fun. And I don't know if the fans are digging it or not, but I am. And I think it's a cool thing to do. So check those out.
Also, if you're having the DTs, you can come over to my house, because I went to Sam's Club today. And while they did not have my first choice for half gallon of booze, and they did not even have my second choice for a half gallon of booze, I did get my third choice, and I haven't even cracked it yet. So I'm good for a little bit.
There you have it. So let's call up our first record shop. This is Sit and Spin Records, and we're going to be talking to Leora at Sit and Spin Records if she picks up. Oh, and this is going to be one of the shows where we call people that might not pick up. So that's just how it's going to be. So we'll see if it works this time around or not.
All right.
Oh, hi, Leora. This is John Gentile. You're on the Punk News Podcast with Tom and Adam. How are you, Leora?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing
excellent.
All right. Leora, we're calling to talk about your record shop. Leora runs, along with a guy called Colin, Sit and Spin Records in Philadelphia on what the hell is the name of the street that Sit and Spin's on?
We're on the corner of West Passyunk and South Lambert.
Right, Passyunk. Listen, I'm not going to say what record store is the best, you know, in Philadelphia, because they're not necessarily in competition, but Sit and Spin Records is one of the best in Philadelphia, one of the best on the East Coast, and not only that, the best punk record shop in Philadelphia. I love Sit and Spin. I go there about once every other week, and they always get a ton of punk records in. Leora, how did you start Sit and Spin Records?
Well, it started off actually as a record label. Colin started it because, like, when I started my record label back in the 90s, it was the same thing. It was the same thing as Crass when they started their record label. But nobody wanted to put out our music, so you kind of had to do it yourself. So Sit and Spin Records started out as a record label to put out some of Colin's bands, and then he started putting out his friends' bands. And then we started buying collections and going to record shows, and next thing you know, we had more records than we had room in our house.
And then, now, Leora is currently in Trash Night, but she was also in a pretty well-known New York band called Bolts of Doom. Leora, is that the first band that you put out a record with on your label, or?
Doomed Records, back in the 90s, was my label. We put out the Bolts of Doom records. Whenever we put out a new record, I always throw that on there just because, why not? I did it myself. But Sit and Spin's first records were, I believe, Nothing Is Over.
Fair enough. Now, Leora, did you work at a record store before opening Sit and Spin with Colin, or you didn't?
I did actually work at a Generation Records in New York City in the late 90s. It was from the end of 97 to 2000. I worked up there.
So you had a background in running a record store. Here's the thing. As a shopper, it seems like running a record store is kind of like the funnest thing ever. Is running a record store like super fun, or is it like really stressful and actually not that fun?
Work is work, right? It has its high points, it has its low points, but it's rewarding. And, you know, as the saying goes, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. So I do find it rewarding in that respect, that I enjoy what I do. It really comes down to Colin's expertise, because he's a mastermind when it comes to this stuff, practically an encyclopedia. His ability to retain stuff is pretty amazing. I'm more of a logistics guy.
Fair enough. Now here's the question everyone wants to know the answer to. Do people that run record stores, do they judge people on the records that people buy? Like, if I came up to you like with a bunch of, like, I'm trying to think, like, if I came up with you like a bunch of
Nickelback.
Johnny Osmond records, Nickelback. If I came up to you like a bunch of Nickelback records, I was like, yes, you guys got in the new Nickelback record. I'm so excited. Would you be like, or would you be like, that's the purpose of a record store? Everybody can get what they want.
I'm stoked when my people are happy. You come in here and you find something you love, that gives me the most joy ever. I might not like what you like. And if you want to ask if I judge someone, I wouldn't necessarily say they're right or wrong, but I'll definitely say whether or not it's somebody I'd want to hang out with.
Ah, fair enough. There, you know, one of the things I really like about Sit and Spin is Sit and Spin, I would say most of the store or a significant portion of the store is punk, and it's actually a great selection. They've got a fair amount of classic rock and some hip hop and a whole bunch of other stuff too. But to me, punk rock is kind of their main thing. They don't have a lot of junk. Like pretty much everything, like not everything is something I want, but it's all pretty quality stuff. Lior, like curation. How important is curation in running a record shop? That is deciding what you put on the shelves and what you don't even put out there for people to check out.
Well, a lot of our supply really comes out of demand, but I feel like we kind of set the tone by selling what we like. I mean, really, I did start off by saying that I enjoy what I do, and I don't enjoy selling crap. So, yeah, you know, it's part of the hunt. I mean, as a record collector yourself, you appreciate the joy and the thrill of going out and finding that record that you've been looking for, the record you didn't even know you were looking for. That's exciting. Well, I get to do that every day of the week for you. I get to go hunt out these records. And curating for me is definitely that, being able to go and find those records that everybody wants or maybe they didn't know they wanted. Bring it out there, playing it, putting it on the wall and being like, hey, I know what you buy. You're going to want to listen to this. Having that relationship, that's what makes it great.
A good answer. Another question I think people, we debate this on the podcast a lot. I feel as though if someone whips out their phone and starts checking out Discogs in the shop, it's a little disrespectful. The unspoken rule being is you kind of have to use your own wits as to whether or not you want to pick something up. Is it rude to check out Discogs or eBay while in the shop?
Hey, you know, it's a touchy subject.
Touchy like you smack people who do it?
There's a lot of gray area. What's that?
Touchy like you smack people who do it in the store? That kind of touchy? Or not that bad?
Well, I mean, there's a level of abuse. You know that there's that guy who's kneeling through the dollar bins with his Discogs out, like expecting to find something that you might have missed. You know, looking for that lost treasure that slipped through the cracks. Yeah, you know, that guy annoys me. You got the guy who lists his entire collection on his Discogs, and he has every variation of every version of everything. And maybe he can't remember which one he has. He'll have to go and look it up. I respect that. I know sometimes I'll whip it out. And this is my thing, especially when I'm digging in Japan, because there's a lot of stuff I've never seen before. But I'll whip it out. I'll check it out. I'll see what the description is, because I'll be captured by a cover, you know. So I'll look it out, look up the description. I'm like, oh, this sounds like something that intrigues me. Oh, from the 80s, you know, hardcore punk. I've never heard this before. Let me check it out. You know, I'll pull it up on YouTube. I'll listen to it. Oh, this is kind of cool. All right, well, they have this price on it. I might be able to, if I like it, I'll keep it. If I don't, you know, I can sell it and not lose my shirt. So I think there's uses for it, but there's definitely abuses.
Lior, one of the cool things that you guys do is you guys go to Japan like once a year, once every year or something. Tell us about the record hunt in Japan and like how crazy that is.
It's like Sit and Spin on steroids. I mean, you know, if you think you can find stuff in our shop, you can't even imagine what you can find over there. They have the wonderful culture of collecting, and they kind of obsess over things. So record collecting's not like anything else. They just, I don't know, they have it all there and they respect it and they treat it very well. And you'll find Japanese records are just usually pristine. The punk ones are hit or miss. But no, it's fantastic. I mean, there's a chain of stores that you can go to, and if you can time it right, they'll have these release dates where they'll have like a list of these crazy rare records that'll go out, and you have to stand in line and get a ticket. And I've gotten stepped on and elbowed by these little Japanese guys trying to pull records out of my hands. It's such a crazy frenzy. It's pretty exciting. You come out of it shaking.
Lior, just a couple last questions for you. You know, the coronavirus is hitting a lot of record shops hard. What can we do to help out record stores, and what can we do to help out Sit and Spin in general?
You know, that's a great question. We haven't really thought about it much, to be honest, just playing it by ear. It's kind of hard to say what tomorrow is going to bring. We tried to keep our mail order running. It's been a little hard with going to the post office, and I'm kind of don't want to really gum up the shipping services with records when there's medical supplies need to get places. So we kind of took that down, and we're just kind of bunkering down. We'll be all right. I'm probably most concerned about our employee, Ariana. She's amazing. She's been such a hard worker. And, you know, if I can find out if she has a Venmo or something, if you guys want to donate to her, I mean, we've given her all the sick pay and vacation we can, and she's awesome, and she deserves the support. And I feel this probably goes for most of these places. I mean, if it's just taking care of myself, I'll be fine. And I think the shop will be okay once you guys come back after the lights come back on. It's just our workers that we really worry about.
Yeah, Ariana, she's a younger person. She runs the cash register. Very nice person, very knowledgeable person. So if you see her around, maybe you can help her out. Last question, Leora. The record shop has got a lot of killer records. What's your personal holy grail that you have, or like your one, this is the record that I have that's like the coolest record ever?
You can't ask that You know you can't ask that question. It's like asking a parent who their favorite kid is.
All right, name one really cool record that you have.
Man, I don't even know. One really cool record? All right, so this one afternoon in Hiroshima, we had just gone to the museum and hugely touched by the Peace Museum and all the history of that great city in Japan. We were sitting in this little vegan cafe, and we started talking to this Japanese guy who spoke wonderful English. And usually when they speak great English, they want to talk your ear off so they can practice. We started chatting about that and music and all that stuff. And he told us about this one band called Kasbah, and I was like, oh, what is that? And it sounds cool. When we'd seen the record in the shops before, and I was like, all right, cool. So a couple of days later, we're flipping through the shops, and we found the 7-inch they had shown us, and we grabbed it. And I would never have known about it, and it's probably one of my favorite records. It's not worth much. It's probably not the greatest record I have, but that attachment, that little sentimental attachment to it, probably makes it one of my most cherished.
Well, fantastic. Leora, where can people visit Sit and Spin online right now? Is it just facebook.com/sitandspin?
Sit and Spin Records, yeah. Facebook.com/sitandspinrecords. We also have a website, sitandspinrecords.com, where that'll take you to our Discogs when that comes back up. It comes back up, but right now it's down.
Well, fantastic. Leora, thanks again, and great work running that shop. I love your shop.
Great. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. And good luck to everybody. I wish the best for everyone through this crazy crisis. I'm glad you're keeping communications going and keeping us talking and staying relevant.
Cheers. All right. Talk to you later.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
And that was Leora from Sit and Spin. And now we're going to call Eric over at Creep Records, where I throw some of my shows. And you guys can talk while I dial up Eric.
I feel that having one of those calls go really well just means that some horrible thing will befall the rest of the rest calls.
Well, I noticed that John trampled all over his own self-imposed time limit, so.
I did.
But the person you called has a voicemail box.
Yes!
Fair enough. Goodbye. All right. Well, Tom, do you want some extra time to talk to Europe, or do you guys just want to hang out for a little bit?
No, it doesn't matter to me. We can give him a call.
All right, let's give the boy a call, and then maybe we'll
it's
call
definitely out. An interesting. They have a little different situation, so I think there's some things we're talking about.
All right, let's give him a ring, ding, ding, and then we'll go
see what happens.
So we're calling a Record Farm. Tom's a big fan. They put out the Sloppy Seconds reissues, right, Tom?
Yeah, they run a label too, so we can talk about that a little bit.
All right, let's see here. We'll see if they pick up. Remember? Oh, here we go. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello.
Hey, Adam. It's Tom, you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Not too bad.
So I'm here with my pals John and Adam, and we're actually taking a – so we're on the – this is the Punk News Podcast. I'm sure you got that. That I know I kind of talked to you about a little bit. We're calling record stores and kind of hearing their stories a little bit and, you know, kind of seeing what they're trying to do to keep relevant when everything's closed down. And so I think you guys have a real interesting situation over there. And so you guys also started from – you guys also have a little record label you run. So why don't you tell us just real briefly how you guys got started? I know some people have heard this story, but that's all right.
As far as the label or the record store?
How did the label turn into the record store, I guess, is the way I would ask it.
Well, Matt and I, we were...
Matt is Adam's partner. I actually know Matt quite a bit better than Adam, but I think Adam's the brains of the operation as far as I can tell. I can't tell which one he is the looks and which one he's the brains, but that's okay.
it's a team package, right?
There you go.
Well, the I don't know how we started as a record store. I guess we, as a label, we had this brilliant idea. We wanted to start a record pressing plant. And after, we talked to everybody, it just wasn't, it wasn't practical. It was way out of our reach financially. And so we're like, well, we can't start a record pressing plant, so let's just start a record store.
And you wanted to start a plant, essentially, because you were making your own records? You wanted to press your own records, or is that the thought?
That was the thought. The exact thought. We had the record label. Let's press our own record. And, Jack White, he was able to make that happen.
You don't have Jack White money, you're saying, huh?
No, definitely not. But hey, we've been having fun. We started the record store, and a couple years later, we started a second one. Just kind of have fun doing that thing.
So you guys have two locations, but the thing I think that makes it a little more challenging for you guys is you're in small towns. I mean, Logansport is 18,000, and the other one is in Rochester. How big is Rochester?
Oh, my, I'm going to guess 12,000, maybe. It's definitely smaller than Logansport.
I would say you guys are in a couple of the smaller town USAs to have a record store. You don't see a lot of smaller
without
towns.
Without a doubt.
And you guys also do, you guys are real involved with the community. You got one of your stores has a show space in it and things like that. You actually have shows at the store, which is sweet. But so you guys did something yesterday. I actually think this was a brilliant idea. So why don't we talk about what you guys did yesterday? And I wonder if this is something that could work for other stores or if maybe to work for you again, if necessary, if this thing lasts a long time. But why don't you tell everybody what we did yesterday? Because I actually was one of the lurkers and it was actually pretty fun.
No, thank you so much. Yes. And this is definitely, I think, a lot of record, stores or even just individual sellers, they're all kind of resorting to this. What we did was basically just a Facebook Live event. We kind of prepared for it for a few days, built up a decent amount of used records that Matt and I had just recently bought before the fallout. And basically, we just went Facebook Live and promoted it for a few days. Well, we went live and we were able to generate enough cash to pay the rent and utility bills for another month.
It kind of had like a crazy, almost like an auction feel or something. It was like, hey, anybody wants this? And we're commenting on the things. Or I was like, hey, what's that Danzig record? John, they had this weird Danzig live record that had Danzig and Sam Hain and Misfit songs on it. I've never
seen
it before.
And I'm still anxious to hear anybody's review on this album.
Is that a legit release?
Is that the one that has Danzig chopping off Jerry Only's head?
No, it's just got his face on the cover, right?
Yeah, it's just Danzig's face. It's like a live FM recording from some like radio show, and there's a bunch of Danzig and Misfits and
like 20 songs on it across his career.
Yeah.
The double LP, John. It might be right up your alley, actually. You might go to the record farm and watch the video, because I actually had him flip that over and show me. But here's how it went for me, John, because it's like, okay, you know, my wife's not really working. So I'm a little, I mean, we'll be all right. I'm still working. My wife's not working. I'm like, ah, my wife's not working. I really should hold on to my money. I really should hold on to my money. And then it's like, hey, is that the new red and blue pressing of the Ramones? It's Alive. Sign me up. You know the feeling, right, Jeff?
Oh, I know.
A fool and his money, man. When you see, that looks great. So anyway, I thought that was a lot of fun. I don't know. Like I said, is that something you're planning to do again, or you just got to kind of wait and see what happens? Or
I guess it all just kind of depends on, I guess, how the world goes. You know, if this gets any more crazy or any more out of control, I don't know, you know, what we're going to be allowed to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess it all depends on how big Joe Exotic gets. You know, if he gets any bigger, you know, we have more someone to fall back on.
It's so funny. So I haven't watched this. Are you familiar with this Joe Exotic? This is this. What's the name of that thing? It's a Netflix thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's called like Tiger King or something like that.
In certain circles, I hear people, everyone talking about this. Have you guys seen this?
No, I haven't. I've heard the name Joe Exotic. That's all I know, though.
But I guess
it's insane, and it is.
I'm out of the loop, so I had to watch this too. Actually, everybody's making jokes, and I'm just like, yeah. But I don't know what they're talking about. You know,
it's a train wreck that you can't stop watching. It's pretty insane.
Excellent. So you did the live thing, which I think was really a really cool thing, and I would like to actually see more of those. And you guys also, you're selling some Discog stuff.
Yeah, actually. No, Discogs has been definitely pulling us through this tough time. We've been posting everything on Discogs lately. You know, the mail service hasn't shut down, and so that's really our primary source right now of sales.
Okay, so is that just the Record Farm on Discogs, or where do we find you?
Yes. No, exactly. Just go to the Record Farm, go to Discogs and search the Record Farm, and there you'll have it.
And the other way that you can help these guys out is they still run the label, and they've actually put out some pretty big releases in the last couple of years. They just did the Sloppy Seconds live reissue for the first time in 25 years. You did that first time ever on vinyl, and you just did that, what, a month ago, maybe 2 months ago?
Just about. Yeah. I think we released it in January, I believe.
I can't remember. The time all blurs, right?
Exactly.
And they also do a series of split 7 inches with where they usually, it's like a pretty well established punk rock band, and then maybe like a little lesser known kind of local band. And that's been a real fun series for me to collect. It reminds me of in the 90s when I was a kid and I was collecting all those great split 7 inch records. So, and that's failurecore.com.
Yes. And that's been a lot of fun, that series.
Yeah. So you guys should check that out. I have become obsessed with the split series. And of course, being a huge Sloppy Seconds fan, I'm super excited that you guys have been working with them. I'm hoping maybe it even goes further than that. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. I don't have any inside information. I'm just hoping. I know you guys
there's some pretty exciting information that we're kind of sitting on that may or may not happen.
Oh, I'm going to have to, text message Matt Cecily when he's been drinking. I'll get that information out of him.
So, well, hey, it's definitely exciting either way.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you talking to us. I think I really like what you guys are doing down there, because I think you provide a real cool service in, you know, what's kind of a rural area, because you know, you have your records, of course, which is obviously very popular. You sell some CDs, you got some musical instruments. What else you got? You got all kinds of crazy crap in your stores, right?
I mean, it's a music store. It's, you know, records and CDs, vinyl, and there's, you know, guitars and instruments and music accessories. And, you know,
there's like toys, there's bobbleheads.
Yeah, we tried to, you know, dabble into that pop culture market a little bit, but, you know, it's mostly music, sure. You know, CDs, not even CDs, vinyl, that sells really.
Sure.
But it's, you know, we were just two idiot friends, and that's, I think, a lot of the decisions we've made have just been, I don't know, for the fun of it, really.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I've been proud to hitch my train to these two idiot friends wagon these last couple of years. We've had a lot of fun doing a little bit of stuff together. And I can tell you, these guys they're doing good stuff in rural Indiana. So I hope everybody will check out Failure Core. And I hope everybody will check out the Record Farm. If you're ever driving through a cornfield and you come across a record store, it's probably the Record Farm.
That is no lie.
But hey, thanks a lot, Adam. I appreciate you coming on, man, and good luck. I hope you guys weather the storm, and I can't wait to like get down there in person to, you know, finger through your records instead of having to ogle them over my cell phone.
That sounds great, man. Looking forward to seeing you.
All right, take care, man. We'll see you.
Hey, take care.
And that was Adam from the Record Farmer. We're going to do one last call. Oh, crap. Can you guys still hear me?
We can.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Yeah, we're going to do one last call, and then maybe we'll hang out and rap for a little bit, and then we'll go from there. So let's call Paige from Streetlight Records San Jose, and then maybe we'll try to call back Creep, but maybe not. I don't know, man. Let's see here. So let's call Paige from Streetlight Records. Calling right now. That Danzig album, Tom, is actually a bootleg, but it's a very good bootleg. It's been issued a couple of different times in different forms.
Well, it's funny. It's a bootleg. I mean, they're not in the business of selling bootlegs. It must have some. I mean, you must be able to get it through distributors, right?
Well, hi, Paige. This is John Gentile. You're on the Punk News Podcast. What's happening?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. In case the listeners don't know, this is Paige from Streetlight Records San Jose on Bascom Avenue, one of the best record stores in the Bay Area for sure. I used to go to Streetlight Records every Friday after work. And I truly do miss going there because I moved back to the East Coast. I truly miss seeing Paige and the rest of the crew there. But Paige, you've been working in record stores pretty much your entire adult life, right?
I have. And let me say that we miss seeing you too. Coming in after work on Friday, going straight to the new arrivals LPs and thumbing through every single one.
you think that like no one's watching you, but everyone's watching every exact. See, what I used to do is I used to go to, not that the listeners care, I used to go to the new arrivals, then I'd work my way down the line, then hit the killer dollar bin at Streetlight, which is killer, then go over to the and I'll tell you, I love Streetlight. Anyways, I'll be back out there soon, Paige. Anyway, Paige, how'd you get started working in record shops, and why do you like working in record shops?
Well, I got started accidentally. I was going to college in South Carolina. I graduated, and I had a friend who worked at a record store, and I just thought, I'll just apply there. I'll just do this until I figure out what I want to do with my life. And I worked there for a year, and then I moved to San Francisco, and I got to San Francisco, and I'm like, I don't know what I want to do for work. Oh, look, this record store here called Streetlight has a now hiring sign in the window. I'll just try that. And I got hired, and I thought, I'll do this till I figure out what I want to do with my life. And that was 30 years ago. So there you go. This is what I'm doing with my life.
Well, you're doing a good job for sure. Paige,
thank you.
Why is the record store important? Why is the record store important? Or maybe it's not important. What's your perspective?
Well, I think it's hugely important. I mean, to me, the record store, I mean, it serves the function of providing people the music that they're looking for. And of course, I'm a huge proponent of the physical format, you know, especially the LP, but also the CD. You know, I'm not a big fan of the MP3 myself, but I do know there are plenty of people who do, you know, all of it. But what I feel like is important about the record store is it's a safe place for people who are into music, who are into movies, safe place in, you know, that everybody comes to the record store, people of all different kinds, and everybody's welcome at the record store, and everybody can find, can find connection at the record store. So it serves the function as kind of a cultural community center, I think, in addition to being a place where you can go to, you know, pick somebody's brain about new releases or have you heard this record? Have you heard that record? Or if I like this, what do you recommend? But it's really about human connection to me anyway. That's how I view it. And that's what I get out of it as an employee as well.
And an interesting thing about record stores is, unlike video stores, which don't really exist anymore, record stores, you know, I guess records used to be sold like hardware stores, that kind of a thing. And then they record stores came into existence more or less, and they weathered the storm through the 70s, 80s cassettes, 90s CDs, and they're still around. I think arguably they're more popular now than they were 5 or 6 years ago. Do you think the purpose of a record store has changed, or has it been consistent?
I think I think that the character of the record store has changed over the years. I think the purpose has pretty much remained the same, but the character has changed a little bit. And of course, the content has changed. Like you mentioned, you know, like when I first started working in a record store in 1988, LPs were the big thing, and cassettes were also sort of a big deal, but LPs were still around. Shifted to CDs as being the primary focus. Cassettes kind of went by the wayside, and then LPs started to go by the wayside, and then, you know, digital downloads came along after that, and things suffered, but the stores that really suffered were the stores that sold exclusively new items and didn't carry any used items, and that included things like Tower, Record Land, like Sam Goody's, all of the mall stores, and to me, the stores that carried exclusively new items and didn't have any used, they had a much different feel than the record store that also carried used items. And, you know, because the stores that had, you know, stores that have used records also, generally speaking, have a different aroma to them as well. More like that thrift store kind of scent, you know, when you walk in the door. To me, the purpose has been the same. Like we're selling music, something, you know, there used to be these stickers on records like back in the 70s, maybe even in the 60s, but that said, music is still your best entertainment value. And I think that is true and has remained true. Like you know, you take this thing home and you can listen to it over and over and over again. And sometimes you hear something new, or sometimes you read something on the liner notes that you kind of missed before, like, and that thing that you can get from the record store, that kind of feeling and that kind of entertainment value and comfort is something that I think has been constant through the decades at the record store.
Well said. One of the things that I love, one of the main things I love about Streetlight is the selection is killer. I mean, all kinds of genres, excellent CD selection, excellent record selection. But all, I mean, most record stores now, the people are pretty cool. But when I first started going to record stores, it was kind of the age where record store clerks were kind of jerks. The thing that I liked about Streetlight was everyone was always totally cool. And you could bring up a Men at Work record, and they'd be like, oh, Men at Work, I love their second album. Or you could bring up, like, you know, something like Septic Death, and they'd be like, yeah, Septic Death, they, you know. Paige, why do you think Streetlight Records is special?
You know, I think really for that reason, we have always, I would say that, you know, we've tried to avoid that, you know, that snotty record store clerk mentality. But I also got to say that I think we sort of naturally avoid it because the folks that I work with are like what you're experiencing on your end as a customer is genuine. Like, they're genuinely good people and they genuinely want you to have a good music experience, even if what you're having that experience, the artist that you're having that experience with is not the same as what does it for them, but they totally recognize what music means to people and they respect that, even if they are not necessarily, you know, they might not necessarily have, you know, great feelings about, you know, this particular artist or that particular artist, but they understand that this is life. Like, we need music to survive and we understand how it makes people feel. And that just, I think it's always really close to the forefront of their minds. I mean, plus, you know, they're just such a good crew. They're really invested in what they're doing. They feel a sense of ownership about it. And part of that is because, and I think this is true of every record store, the personalities of the people that work there are reflected. It's reflected in the artwork you see on the walls and the displays and the product that's there, in the recommendations and reviews that people write. So, you know, the more across the spectrum your employees are, like, just the more complete and holistic it's gonna feel, and the better the experience for the customer. So it just comes down to people, I think.
Well, let's talk Turkey on those ends. We talked to another record store about this earlier today. Is it fair game to check out Discogs in the store, or is that kind of poor form and low class, and you should use your own wits in the record store because the record store has overhead that people on Discogs might not have?
You know, I get it. I mean, especially in times like these when people are really worried about money. I mean, you want that special thing, but you don't want to pay more than you need to. And I think that I can't speak for my coworkers, but I sort of accept that people are either walking around with their phones, they have access to the information. I sort of accept that they're going to, you know, be checking out what's available and at other stores and what the prices are. But I think it's also, you know, it's safe to bear in mind that oftentimes the people who are pricing the records in the store are also checking out those sites. So, you know, I'm sure there are some instances in which, a price is not competitive. But I think for the most part, you know, when you factor in, like, having to wait for it if you order it from Discogs and having to pay the shipping and maybe you don't know and trust the seller versus it's right there in front of you. Maybe it is $2 or $3 more. Maybe it's $5 more. Maybe it's even $10 more on Discogs. But, you know, you can have it right now. You can bring it home with you and play it right now.
I agree. And also, like, I think the consumers or people, record store shoppers, I think they should be willing to spend a few extra bucks because, honestly, like, when you're at the record store and you're flipping through stuff, like, oh, I didn't even know this existed. You know, it just without the record store as a physical thing, checking out records isn't quite the same. And to that end, Paige, I got a couple last questions for you.
Sure.
Streetlight Records, amazing dollar, $2, $3 bin. I've gotten so many amazing. That's how I love Flock of Seagulls. I got Flock of Seagulls' first album out of the dollar bin. It's an amazing record. Would you please talk about the importance of the $1, $2, $3 bin, because I feel many people skip that because they think it's all Bing Crosby when really there is gold buried in those bins.
Oh, I am so with you. There are great things buried in those bins. And sometimes it's a record that, you know, is just a little too beat up to be priced higher and in the regular bin. So you do find deals on, you know, on great titles, but it is such a great way to try something new. And I know that, you know this too, like sometimes the cover just sells the record. You look at a cover and you're like, I don't know what this is, but I want to own it. You bring it home and it might be something totally other than what you're thinking it is, something totally different, but it becomes one of your favorites. And you wouldn't take a chance on it if it was a $10 record or even a $5 record, but if it's $1 or $2, you're like, I'll take that chance. Why not? You know, and if I don't like it, I'll pass along to somebody else who does. Next time you come back, though, I got to tell you about this great thing that we have sometimes when we have it. We have LP grab bags. So you get 7 of them, but they're mystery bags. Mm. Seven of them for $3.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Paige, in the age of Corona lockdown, What can we do to help out record stores in general, and what can we do to help out Streetlight? Because Streetlight on Bascom, people, if you were in the Bay Area, you've got to go check them out. Go say hi to Paige. Streetlight Bascom rules. Paige, what can we do to, you know, help out Streetlight during the lockdown?
Well, thank you so much for the kind words, John. And I will say we are, while we're closed to the public at the moment and probably will be for the foreseeable future, we are still doing an online business. You can order merchandise from streetlightrecords.com, but we have one big thing that people could do to support their indie record store is to purchase a gift certificate now and spend it later. So it's sort of the buy now, shop later idea. And at Streetlight, we have a special going that if you buy a $25 gift certificate, we're going to mail it out to you, and we will also send you a bonus $5 gift certificate as a thank you for supporting us.
Well, there you have it. That's Paige of Streetlight. Paige, always a pleasure. Hopefully we'll speak again soon, and I'm planning on flying out there this summer or the fall, so maybe I'll see you then.
That will be so awesome. It'll be a great reunion.
Fantastic. Well, Paige, thanks again.
Thank you, John. Take care.
Bye-bye. And that was Paige from Streetlight Records, boys. I'll tell you guys, let's give Creep a call. I don't know if they're going to answer or not. And then if not, then I don't know. We'll just hang out and do whatever you guys want to do. Are you guys still there?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
John, we're the least interesting part of this show. So we're just letting it happen.
Let's see here. All right, let's see if Creep Records answers. And if not, well, listen, that's how it goes sometimes. We're ringing right now.
Sorry. The person you
Fair
called
enough.
Has a mailbox that has not been set up yet.
Well, anyways, all right, boys, listen. So Corona is hitting right now. What should music fans do? And should we talk about coronavirus every week on the Punk News Podcast till it passes? Because it looks like it's going to be a while, but quite unfortunately, Pennsylvania is opening up a lot of stuff right now, which is ridiculous. You know, so
what?
I don't know.
What are they opening?
Well, so in America, at least in the East Coast, what's called non-essential businesses are ordered to be closed. So what's
yes,
happening?
We're in the
is
same situation.
A bunch of businesses are petitioning the government to be classified as an essential business, and I can't go into specifics because it's not me myself, but it's one of my relatives. Is their company sells, we'll say, the equivalent of let me think of an example. The equivalent of you know Home Goods or Marshalls. It's basically a Home Good or a Marshalls, and they petitioned to be classified as an essential business, and somehow they got the classification. So now all those people
need socks and underwear, John.
Right? It's like that is not an essential business, you know. So it's
well. Let me. So my job, I deal with water. Right? I'm in Michigan, and I deal with clean water. So my job actually is essential. The water never stops. We always need clean water. But my daughter, who's in college, works at Wendy's. She is also considered, she's exempted. She can go to work. And she's an essential service, Wendy's. No one needs Wendy's, John.
You need the Misty Shake, Tom, the Misty Shake.
Never had that. I do enjoy the occasional Frosty, but I've never had the Misty Shake. But it's so, I mean they've done our tattoo parlors. They've closed down our.
Couldn't you see the argument where, like, you know, people might need takeout food or something like that. Like I can kind of agree with that if they're going to give the poor kid that's working the drive through who's basically like on the front lines like a big fucking raise.
Well, they're not though, and that's the thing too. Who's working right now? People at the grocery stores. Like I said, I had to go get groceries today. I went to Sam's Club. It was like a bomb went off in there. There was nobody in there. It was the greatest thing ever. If it wasn't for the fact that there was no canned goods or toilet paper, I would have been thrilled because it was so quiet in there. But then you go to the grocery store and it's just, it's manic. And you're like, these people working at the grocery store are making $10 an hour. And they are literally working one of the most difficult jobs in America right now.
Here's the thing that annoys me is a lot of the companies that are petitioning to be classified as essential is the people fighting for that classification. They're not the people dealing with the public. You know what I mean?
And yeah, so that's the boss, the owners.
And honestly, people are dying from this virus, you know? So essentially, I mean, like, it is getting kind of crazy in that, like literally, like, you've got the super rich class forcing the worker class to go to work and risk their lives for a normal paycheck because the super rich class doesn't want to have bad quarter profits. And that's the truth. You know what I mean?
This is I do think about the economics of this because it's going to be disastrous. This is going to make 9/11 look like a blip on the radar.
We had the conversation earlier today with my team, and 9/11 affected us way less than this. And like we're in tourism and hospitality in a border town, so 9/11 absolutely affected us, but not like this. This is way worse. So I'm fascinated that people are petitioning to be essential services, because I think in Ontario it's just sort of like you can just say you're an essential service until someone steps in the door and tells you to stop, but there isn't really anyone that's willing to enforce that at the moment. So that's why we're screwed, is we're making up laws and rules, but we're not actually enforcing them. So yeah.
Well, I saw originally, well, they don't have enough police to do that. And the fact of the matter is, do we really want to live in that type of a police state? But the fact of the matter is, like, in Pennsylvania, John, I read that they, because it's only state-run liquor stores in Pennsylvania. Right. I had read that they'd shut down the liquor stores, which does seem like a horrible idea.
And New Jersey, too.
Hmm. But yeah, luckily, in Michigan, a civilized state, we sell booze at our pharmacies, so we'll never have to worry about not getting booze.
You see, we have all state-run.
It's medicine, John.
Yeah, medicine. Like we have state-run liquor stores here, and you can buy directly from a a manufacturer. So, like if you're a winery or a brewery or a distillery or something like that, you can sell to the public. But other than that, it's strictly government-run things. Now, there is a petition that's going on right now in Ontario that that our buddies at Bose are trying to trumpet right now, which they're trying to say, well, if you why don't you just let restaurants that are doing all of this takeout these days anyways, just allow them to sell booze from a takeout standpoint. And that's the big petition at the moment, but who knows? I mean, this is the one weird thing about being in Ontario right now is that on the one hand, we are supposed to, as good punk rockers, reflexively hate Doug Ford because he's a scary conservative and an asshole. And most of the times,
who is
our premier. He is the brother of infamous Toronto mayor Rob Ford, who smoked crack and then died.
Oh, the crackhead.
Yeah. The brother.
That Rob Ford thing was so insane, Adam.
So Rob Ford's brother.
Yeah,
Adam,
I don't believe you guys can ever look down at us again after that.
I think we can. But anyways, Doug is our premier currently, which is the provincial equivalent of a governor, right? He's a premier. He's a little bit less wacky than his brother in that there's no obvious cocaine going on, but he fits the mold of a loud Trumpy kind of populist that is doing things because they sound good to dummies, but it doesn't necessarily have a lot of backing on it. I say that being that one of his big things when he tried to get into office was he wanted to bring back buck a beer, which is to say dollar for a bottle of beer at the store. Like that was one of his big campaign promises, which is that's sort of a ridiculous thing to hang your hat on in general.
Worse platforms, Adam.
There are, right? But so we like to slag on Doug because like from the standpoint of say like my children's education or like the energy policy, it's pretty shitty. But on the other hand, he keeps liberalizing he keeps opening up and liberalizing stuff that we're totally happy to have liberalized. And it's a very strange back and forth. So he is relenting on a lot of this province's like draconian prohibition era liquor laws, which we're all a fan of having those laws rolled back. And on the other hand, we're not really a fan of why he's rolling them back, but we're a fan of the fact that they are rolled back. And by the same token, when weed was legalized here, the previous government, which was a left-wing government, they had decided that, we're going to sell weed in Ontario in government run stores, just like we sell liquor. And then Doug came in and he was like, no, open it to the free market. And on the one hand, the process by which that happened was all fucked up and weird, but we're actually pretty happy about that. Like, I like the idea that I can just go to like a store that is not run by the government and is selling that stuff. So it's a very weird push and pull. But so when it comes down to these essential services things, one of the things that is an essential service in Ontario right now is the cannabis stores, even though we've only had those for like 8 months.
Yep. Us
so
too, Adam.
It's weird that like, this thing that was illegal up until 8 months ago is now an essential service for us to keep operating.
Imagine people are in prison for selling it and now it's an essential service.
Which is just surreal and bizarre.
It's insane. It's insane.
I thought, not to pat ourselves in the back, which we do literally all the time, we had a very poignant conversation where we talked about like the weed thing and the ticket guys, and the guys that used to hustle on the street are in jail until some rich guy decided it should be legal because he can make money off of it, and now he's making money off of it, but the hustler guy is in jail still. You know, but anyways, listen, do you guys think we should talk about coronavirus every week? News is going to be a little slow for a little while because no bands on tour. Labels are hurting real bad. I know several labels have paused or even deleted upcoming releases just because they can't afford to put them out. Because not only are bands not touring, people aren't buying records because no one's got money, and people aren't even streaming records, which I guess is kind of weird but makes sense, I guess. I mean, news is going to be slow. Should we just rap about coronavirus every week? Should we just talk about what news we can find out? What should we do going forward?
I mean, on the one hand, we kind of got to go the way the wind is blowing. And if this is dominating life, I guess we can't avoid it. On the other hand, it might be a good time to have one of those like a retrospective history of DOA kind of episodes where
we should do that again. We should do something like this Sanganese episode again. We really should.
Well, we might want to give people
except for about a good record.
Yeah, like give people a little reprieve from
like
from
Danzig 2.
Some of the nuttiness.
People love the nuttiness, Adam.
The thing with Sandinista is that was a great conversation because it is a mixed bag of a record. Like if we just talk about, you know, I don't know, Clash One, it's great. Adam, what do you think of Clash One? It's great. Tom, what do you think of Clash One? It's great. You know,
yeah. I feel like an episode where we're like if we really talked about Rocket to Russia for a while, then that would be really boring.
Yeah, yeah. Adam, you struck on something very interesting. I recently listened to I've been listening to a lot of the Later Day Ramones records. They're all pretty good, honestly.
Compared to what comes out now, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, We're Out of Here is actually like a really good record. Like, it's not as good as the first three, but whatever. What is, you know? But like, We're Out of Here is like
about that last live album.
No, I'm sorry.
Adios Amigos.
That record is like really good. So maybe we should talk about like one of the Later Day Ramones records or something. But then
I always thought Brain Drain was underrated.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Adam. What's that?
No, I was going to say I went through that phase last summer where we were sitting around on the deck drinking beer in the sun. This is back when we were allowed to go outside and have sunshine. And I just was like mainlining Later Day Ramones records. Like I feel like a lot of them that like I didn't feel familiar with, even though I know I'd heard them. It was a really strange experience. It's just, I think that like 10, 15 years ago, it was really easy to write that stuff off and just put it out of your brain. And now it's just like I'm craving for it. Right. So yeah, I mean, Latter Day Ramones is absolutely something we could talk about, but I think that we might want to do that. We might want to give people a break because the one thing that is bizarre to me right now is the amount of Corona content that I'm getting from places that have nothing to say. So I work in tech. Every day I go into my email, I have 5 emails from the CEO of some company where it's be like, oh, this is the company that you use to redirect email from here to there. And you know, that they have no physical premises. You will never go there. They have no place in the world where you could go, but the CEO is going to send you a 10 paragraph email today about what they're doing about coronavirus. And I'm like, I don't really care what you're doing about coronavirus. And I don't care what your CEO has to say. And I feel like you're just using this as an excuse to like interject yourself into my life right now. Cause it sounds virtuous and you don't need to. So you know what? Let's do that. Let's give it a mix. We'll do a little bit of end of the world real shit and a little bit of talking about Subterranean Jungle.
Sounds good to me.
Unfortunately, it's just impossible to avoid. You just can't. You can't avoid it, you know? So, I don't know. I agree with you guys, though. I think it'd be good to do something different.
We could talk for... I could talk for like 5 hours about how I'm kind of like locked in my house with my kids right now. And
it doesn't get any better when the kids get older either. My wife is here. She's stir crazy. Everybody's stir crazy.
I mean, it's weird.
You know, it's one of those, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to do a real quick advertisement. I do another podcast and part of the point of that was to be not like this one in that it was just something different that was like timeless. You know what? We didn't want to have anything current events, but it's so big. You just can't avoid it. You know what I mean? It's creeping into everything we do. So Punk Till I Die podcast, kids, check it out. We talk Corona talk also, but we try not to too much. So anyway, I just don't think it's avoidable, guys. We could even if we were talking about Danzig too, I think coronavirus would still creep in.
It probably will. Are we playing any music this episode or are we out?
Let's wrap it up. It's a new world out there. We don't know what we're going to do next week. So let's end it with some silence this week, just to be different.